in now, former junior middleweight champion, WBC junior middleweight champion, Tony Harrison. Tony, how are you?
How you doing, man? Everything's blessing, man. It's a blessing to keep waking up every day and doing what I love.
For sure, for sure. Can't beat that. Let's get right down to it, man. I mean, it's been a week now since your loss to Charlo. Looking back on it and having a week to think about it, how would you assess your performance in that particular fight?
I thought I was doing really good, man. I thought I was doing damn good. I thought, I belong there. I knew I belonged there. I knew I deserved to be there. And it was one of those moments for me. I'm capturing a moment, and me fighting a former world champion was just coming so easy to me that I was comfortable, man. Like God put me on that in the sport to and put me on his world to box. Man, like I couldn't have been in no other situation but that. Like I was so comfortable, and I couldn't believe myself. It was coming so naturally and so easy to me after a year layoff, man. But I feel like I was doing good. I did what I wanted to do. I feel like my game plan was to show the world that that the guy was no bully. He wasn't a tough guy. He wasn't, you know, super strong. And I think I exposed that, man. I think I exposed him. I thought we was doing good. I thought we was winning the fight. It just got a little lax, man. That's what happened in the sport of boxing.
Did you feel like it was easier than the first time you fought him?
You know what? I felt like it was much harder. It was like much like, you know what I mean? Like boxing is, and my uncle said this all the time. It's harder to box than it is to fight. You know what I mean? And it was coming like so easy. I wasn't tired. Like I wasn't breathing hard. Like I wasn't anxious. I wasn't feeling like I was overshooting. I felt like everything was just coming naturally. And it was just like, it was so much easier than the first time because I feel like I had a mental block on myself. Coming into the second, you know, my second tribe at shooting for a world title, so I feel like I had a small mental block on that in that ninth round. So, you know, it was just a lot of mental blocks for me. But it was, I feel like I was so free. I was free, man. I feel like I was just, you know, just didn't care who was there, whether 100 people or 100,000 people. I was just free, man. I feel like I just was just in my own little zone.
And it looked like it for most of the fight that you were in your own little zone. I mean, looking at the scorecards, I mean, I was scoring the fight. I had around 8-2, but I knew it wasn't 8-2. I know some of those rounds were fairly close. But I remember talking to you last year, and I said to you, did you have any concerns about the judging coming into the rematch because of how controversial the first fight was? And it kind of, if you look at the scorecards, he was up 96-93 on two of those scorecards. You were up on the other one. But it looked like what I was talking about and some of your concerns kind of came true.
Right. I mean, for me, I knew I was going into the fight with a stacked deck. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even, for that, it wasn't even that, man. I just feel like for me, I was going into the fight just trying to get the respect out of the fight and everybody else. I know it would be hard for me to win a fight in L.A., the L.A. area where he resides. And not only that, it just was the fact that he did so much crying before that. I think it weighed on the judges, you know, just that he was just crying. You know what I mean? Like I said, I seen that in a similar situation going to fight E.J. Smith. And he did the same thing against Julian Williams, which he had a valid reason too. I'm not saying he didn't have a valid reason, but it happened the same way. So I knew I was going in there with a stacked deck Lions promotion and the way that he was talking about the judges. So I knew it was a stacked deck for me, man. But like I said, it was for me, man. I'm nobody could take away that I won the WBC title. So for me, it was just going out there and fighting with my nuts, man. I fought with my nuts and not no skill.
So. Do you feel like you've gotten credit for that first victory? Because a lot of people, you talk about Charlo crying, and there were some people who felt like he won the first fight. But do you feel like you got your just due for that first victory?
I feel like I didn't. I feel like I got, to be honest, criticized more than I got credit. And And it worked so crazy that for me, you know, I feel like I've gotten more credit losing the title how I lost it than winning it how I won it. So I'm getting more praise and more appreciation from just the casual fan from how I fought, you know, Charlo the second time around than how I fought the first time winning. And you know, it says a lot about you know, the sport we in and the people who enjoy watching it.
We're talking to boxer Tony Harrison. So, Tony, after the fight, you tweeted this out. Worst part for me is just losing to somebody I know I'm better than. Talk about that.
I feel like I was dominated the whole fight, man. I just think I feel like I said the deck was stacked against me, man. I just think coming off a year layoff. And then not only just coming off a year later, but I'm coming off a year layoff and going right into it with the guy that they say is the most dangerous in the division. So it wasn't an easy thing for me to do with no tuna fight in between. And I think that it just played a big role in him knocking me down because it just was my body wasn't used to getting hit with 10-ounce gloves for a whole year. And then I get out there just like somebody playing football and they get injured for a whole year and get back out there. It's just like, damn, these hits a little harder than you imagined them, you know what I mean? But it's not even that. Just my body just wasn't used to getting hit for a whole year with 10-ounce gloves on. So that's what caused my knockdowns, man. And but like I said, even with all that, man, you see that I was just the better fighter. I was the stronger fighter mentally, physically, more athletic. I was just the better fighter, man. It hurt, man. When you lose somebody, you know you better than somebody you know you beat, and somebody you know you can beat. And I think he chasing legacy right now. You know, all he talks about is chasing legacy and unifying the belt. But for me, I think legacy comes with when you see Tommy Hearns fight this guy three times, or you see Sugar Ray Leonard fight this guy three times, or you see Manny Pacquiao fight Marquez four times. That's legacy. They don't, you know, people don't forget those kind of fights. So I think I showed the world and I showed him that I'm the wrong guy to fight. You know what I mean? And I think he was happy to get out of it. I think the corner people came to me, hugged me, kind of praised that, you know, how they got out of the fight. And I think they were happy to get out of it, man. I think, you know, time was just on their side at the moment.
In hindsight, do you wish you would have gutted through that ankle injury that you suffered and fought him in June?
You know what? Nah, it was no way I could do it. It was literally no way. I couldn't even walk. It was no way I couldn't do it. I just wish, you know, for me, God was trying to, it was telling me something at the moment. He was just telling me something. I was partying a little hard, maybe a little off focus, and just surrounded by so much love that it was hard for me to focus on, you know, what I needed to be focused on. So I just think, the second time around, you know, me being off a year, man, it just caused me to think a lot. And my mental was, man, I don't think it was a fight, me going into a fight where I was mentally more ready than I just was, you know, for this one. So everything happens for a reason.
So let me ask you this. I mean, there is some people, you know, Charlo was saying coming into this fight that you faked the ankle injury. I know you came up with a little story at the press conference. You said you were joking.
Right.
Just clear up the whole ankle situation.
I mean, like I said, I'm from Detroit, man. There's nobody and nothing in this world that I fear. Nothing. So that just says a lot, man. I think he just was trying to figure out every way possible to take all abusive beating I was giving. I was giving him like a abusive assault, like a verbal assault. And I just think for him it was just he was trying to figure out a way to kind of, you know, pull the pressure off of that and put more focus on me. And it worked to his fans, man. I think that's all they could talk about.
Now you talked about, you know, after you won the belt, you know, you got your party on a little bit. Maybe you celebrated a tad too hard. Do you kind of understand kind of what Andy Ruiz went through with his soul situation? You know, he won the belt, got a little fat, got a little happy, and ultimately he came into the rematch out of shape. Not saying you came into your rematch out of shape, but in terms of Andy Ruiz and partying and just getting caught up.
No, you know, I definitely can see that, man. And winning $5 million, I definitely can see. You know, I didn't win, you know, nowhere near as much. But it me, if I won $5 million, I probably would have to take 2 years off, or probably 2 years to get back to shape. You know what I mean? So I definitely can understand it, man. I think people don't understand that the life of a fighter is super hard, man. And the moment we capture something that we've been trying to capture our whole life, it's time to celebrate, man. It's time to have a little fun, man. Like, I think it's the, like, boxing is the most focused you have to be when it comes to sports, in tune to sports with yourself. There's nobody else involved. You're doing a lot of the road work yourself, a lot of sparring, a lot of training. It's tough. Everything we're doing is tough, man. So I can understand why he celebrated, how he celebrated, and I can understand how he became out of shape.
Right. So what was, you know, when you had the belt, you know, what was the funnest thing you did with your belt?
I really wasn't doing nothing, man. But for me, man, the top of the line for me was going to that Michigan football game, and being the honorary captain for the Tars. And it was dope,
okay,
man. I love everything about football, so it was just dope, man. The environment, 100,000 people showing up to watch these guys, these kids play, man. It was just dope to me.
That sounds good, man. It sounds like a lot of fun. You got a lot of love. How much love did you get from the city of Detroit after you won that belt?
I think that's what carried my edge the most. I don't think I got as much love as I thought I should have got. So not only was I mad at the world, I was more mad at the city that I reside in, because they didn't recognize what we had. Like, we had the top of the line. It seemed that we had no champions from Detroit. We had the top of the line. We had the thing that everybody wanted to get in the world. You know what I mean? So I just think that me going out there, man, just trying to prove a point not only to the people, but just to Detroit, man, just get behind what we got.
For sure. We're talking to former world champion Tony Harrison. So during the fight, you said you felt like maybe you got a little too loose. I know at times you were doing some shimmies and things of that nature in there. You know, Lennox Lewis was saying that, you know, you were just in a rhythm. You were just flowing. Do you think, in hindsight, do you regret those things? Don't regret it? How do you view those things at this point?
Nah, man, I view those things perfectly, man. I feel like it just showed you how calm I was. It showed you how relaxed I was, how comfortable I was in the ring with a former world champion, man. And people could talk about what they want to talk about, but hindsight is I didn't get knocked down shimmying nobody. I didn't get knocked down when I was doing a shimmy. You know, so we could talk about everything we want to talk about, but when I was playing around, at no point did I get touched playing around. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is boxing for you, man. You could have the highest, tightest guard you could have and still get knocked down. So I just think, for me, man, it's no way he would have knocked me down ever if I didn't take a year off. It was no way possible.
Okay.
I just said it was like my body felt so bad after the fight. I could tell I was in a fight for the first time in probably since I was a kid. My whole body felt like I was in a fight, like my arms, my legs, my ribs, like everything was hurting on me, man. And it showed you what a year off did for me. And but it just showed the warrior heart I got, man. It showed how tough I was, how resilient I was, and how much of a point I had to prove, man, going into that fight, man. But, yeah, it just showed you how comfortable I was. And I was so comfortable, man. And I wouldn't change it for the world, man. But for me, I just would probably tighten up just a little bit, man. Just keep my guard so tight, like, you know what I mean, like I had it in the beginning. You know what I mean? But other than that, man, I'm not satisfied with how the ending was, but I was satisfied with how I was performing off coming off a year layoff to a former world champ.
So let me ask you this. You know, you and Charlo, y'all shook hands at the end. Y'all shook hands at the press conference. But, you know, ultimately, he says he still don't like you. I'm assuming that the feeling is still mutual. You don't like him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I don't like him. I mean, it ain't even nothing to fake about it. I probably never will. But for me, it just showed. He shook my hand. He came over there and shook my hand. It just showed that I gained the respect that I always wanted from the beginning. That I only wanted from the beginning, man. And it was. It could have been all music. It could have been all love from there. But it just showed all the love I wanted, all the respect that I just wanted from the beginning. Everything was good.
Okay. So let me ask you this now. Obviously, you want to fight Charlo again. You want that third fight. I think in terms of what we saw, a third fight, I think it should happen. I mean, two great fights, two very competitive fights. Do you think you'll get a third fight?
Never. Never in a day of my life. I think he answered that question for everybody, man. For me, like I said, I'm so competitive, and I enjoy this sport so much, man. For me, if it was the other way around, I would easily give him a rematch, dog. I easily gave him one, so I don't see why I wouldn't. And then, like I said, the second time, we end up, you know, from my great marketing skills, we end up having one of the highest fight of the year behind
yeah.
Keith Thurman and Jose Cito Lopez. So we ended up having the highest rates, man. And it didn't come from him. Everything came from me. So I just think, I think a third fight, we just keep making the sport great, man. I think it was entertaining to not only me and him, but to the world. I think the world was entertaining. You know, it's right now it's in the talks for being the fight of the year. And I thought it was dope. I think it'd be dope. I think the third one would be even better than the second.
But you don't think it'll happen?
Never.
Okay. And why do you think? You think he thinks or he knows that you have his number on some level?
I think so. I think he. Like I said, I seen in a couple corners he was asking what round it was, and all that sounds is just a wear down. You know what I mean? I think for me, the fight that hard for him, he's never been in a fight that hard or a fight where nobody pushed him back. I think we probably took a couple years off of his mental, not his physical, but just his mental. I think he was questioning himself and who he was that fight, and I don't think he want to be in there with nobody that tough no more. I think he just want to chase the money again. He want to chase big money before he gets in there with me again.
Do you think he's mentally weak?
Oh yeah, that don't change. I think he's been mentally weak, so. I don't think that would ever change. I think that's just who he is.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, you don't think you'll get the third fight with him. What do you want to do next? How soon do you want to get back? I mean, what's next for Tony Harrison?
I want to be back in there within like the next 4 months. I'll be back in the gym starting next week. So just to start back and get back in a small little groove. For me, man, I just want to chase fights with. I want to chase like the best fights. Like I want to chase like the fights that bring crowd and bring excitement, not only in the ring, but you know when our press conferences come and the media stuff comes. So I just want to fight people that can bring out the best in me, not only physically but just mentally, man, and just chase as much. As much love I can get from the fans, and that's chasing. I would love to go overseas and fight a guy like Kell Brook. So you know, I just want to chase legacy. I want the fans to keep enjoying good Detroit boxing, and eventually bring good boxing back to Detroit.
So if you can't get Charlo, which you don't think it will happen, who else would you want?
For me, man. Everybody as far as money, I would love for a guy like Earl Spence to move up to 154
okay.
and fight somebody like him. You know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? For me, if they told me I can get Charlo again or retire, I would take Charlo again and retire.
Okay.
There's nobody I enjoy fighting more than a guy like him, who the people loves, and he has that certain genre with the people, and I just want to chase all good fights, man, big money fights. I don't plan on being in the sport that long. I've been in the sport for over 20 years this far, and I just don't want, you know what I mean? Like, just it's tough, man. It started being tougher on my body, tougher on my body to make the weight. So I want to chase all the best fights I can.
You're 29 years old. How many years ideally would you want to fight? How many more years?
Like I said, I just want to be maybe like 3 more years. I just want to chase the biggest fights where I can these next 3 years.
Okay.
And eventually, you know, have a homecoming fight in Detroit, which is my biggest dream.
Is it possible that could be next?
You know what? That's my step one is trying to get the Charlo fight again. If I don't,
okay.
Step two is just fighting in Detroit. I don't care who it is.
Okay. Would you be interested? I mean, let's just say hypothetically, you can get Charlo, but you'd have to take a tune-up. Would you be interested in doing something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if it was some guarantee right now, I would jump through hula hoops to fight Charlo again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's not a thing they can line up for me that I wouldn't do to fight Charlo again. So as long as it's in gear, as long as there's some guarantee for me to fight Charlo again, I'll do it.
So let me ask you this. I mean, looking at your career, you know, you got 3 losses. We look at the Willie Nelson fight. You were up in that fight. You got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Heard you were dominating that fight on some level.
Mm-hmm.
You got caught. And then this Charlo mm-hmm. situation, you know, dominating. You also got caught. Let me ask you this. What do you need to do to tighten up to avoid those things late in fights?
Man, listen to me. When I say I got to figure that shit out myself, that's a question I keep asking myself. Like, how do you keep beating everybody and keep, you know what I mean, losing? You know what I mean? Like, what is it? What is it, Harrison? I just think, man, I don't know, man. I got ADD or something, man. It's hard to keep my attention for so long, man. You know what? I'm really trying to figure that out, man. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's my problem, but I'm getting closer and closer to it, man. Like I said, it went from the 9th round to now we in the 11th round. So I think we're getting closer and closer, man. I just trained my body, just strengthening it just a little more as far as my legs and my neck and those kind of areas that keep getting touched a little more. I just think we take a little more focus to strengthen that up to the top of the line.
Okay. So let me ask you, are you, I know you don't have the belt any longer, but do you feel like you're the best fighter, the most talented fighter at 154 pounds?
And you know what? I always felt like that, man. I just think the world is just starting to see it and it's starting to come out that now after a fight like that, now I'm getting so much more credit that you know, so much more credit for how I'm fighting. And for me, and not only for the people, I think for me, I'm starting to see like, damn, this shit really is super easy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got to be moving that much. I don't got to use that much energy. I ain't got to wear myself out. Like, just take yourself to another mental level. And
right.
it's so much more comfortable, man. Like, this fight was so much more comfortable than me trying to move around from a guy that I'm better than for 12 rounds. You know what I mean? It's draining. Like, moving around from a guy you know you're better than is draining. And I think that was, you know, that was half of my problem. And I think we found something here. We found something here with me going forward, me having a tight defense, how I had it, and me punching how I punching and counter how I counter. I think we found something, man. And I think we just capitalize off that and we keep working from there.
So do you see yourself staying at 154 pounds for the rest of your career?
Yeah, I think I've been disciplined enough this far, man. I started off. I've been about, like, I fought at amateur at 152 for about 8 years and went pro, and now I've been fighting at 154 since. So
okay.
I think for me, man, just staying disciplined, man. You know, the older I get, the more disciplined I have to be. So I don't think it has nothing to do with my body. It has everything to do with me. I just got to stay disciplined in what I'm doing. I weighed in at 153, so, you know, I don't think I had too many true problems with making a weight. So it's just about being disciplined for me. And trying to get that title back, I know for sure I'll be disciplined.
So, knowing that, you know, in the back of your mind that Charlo will never fight you, do you think he goes on to fight a J-Rock or a Jared Hearn possibly?
You know what? I don't think he beats Julian. I don't think he beats Julian, but I think the fight with him and Hearn is still intriguing to everybody. And You know, is it like the 154 division is freaking stacked, man. So is he can fight anybody at any time at any moment. It's stacked. It's super stacked. And you can make a good fight out of anybody. So, I think if he's chasing legacy, if he don't want a third fight with me, he goes to unify. Okay. That's the only thing about it. That's the only thing he can't do if he's talking about chasing legacy, and that's what he wouldn't. And that's what he's chasing. He's chasing either a third fight with me, that's legacy, or he's chasing the belts, and that's legacy. So I don't think you go nowhere else. I don't think you go fight a Herd who doesn't have a belt, and you can fight the guy with three belts, and you can try to unify the division. So I think that's his next step, because that's what would have been mine.
So why do you think Julian Williams beats him?
I think Julian is like top tier when it comes to skill. I think his skill level is off the charts. I just think he got the IQ of a fighter, like an old school fighter. I mean, he got a great IQ. And what I've shown everybody, I think Julian to be able to do with quite damn near quite easy. So Charlo is like super, like I said, for me, he's not a guy that's like super strong. And nor was Herd, but we seen how Julian took the pressure of Herd. And I just think styles make fight, man. I think that's a bad style for him. Seeing how I just pushed him back, I think it's a bad style for him.
Do you feel like Herd will get himself back to the top?
I think that's all on Herd, man. I think it's all that where he feel like he's at mentally. For me, man, it's no way I could lose my belt to somebody and I don't go back and chase that. So that just leaves question marks for me. You know, I'm the ultimate competitor, man. If you're gonna beat me, you know, you can go ahead and beat me twice, but there's no way that I walk away from losing my belt to somebody and don't try to go get it back. You know what I mean? So they just leave question marks to me for her as far as where he's at mentally.
So you were shocked when he decided to go in a different direction?
I was super shocked. Yeah, I guess, man, I'm super shocked. And like I said, you see, Charlo came right after the rematch with me. You know, when he lost the belt, and that's what any real competitor I think would do. I don't think nobody takes a fight in between and talking about still wanting to fight the guy that they lost to. I think that's over. That wave is over. You lost that wave. You passed up on it, and I think it's over.
So, this past weekend, we saw Tank Davis, Gamboa. Any thoughts on that fight? Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched it. I thought Gamboa did a lot better than stood in there a lot longer than I thought it would. But in the same token, man, he got all my props for standing there 12 rounds. With a ruptured Achilles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's tough to do, and it just show how much of a mental game this sport is, man. It's all mental, man. If you just stay in there strong mentally, there's no way nobody could break you. Nobody else can do anything to break you. But I thought Tank showed great like spots of being like that superstar guy that we need to be.
Yeah. And he packed that house. I mean, he turned into a star.
Yeah, he right there, man. He's selling it out in Brooklyn. I mean, in Baltimore, he going to L.A. selling that out, and now we in Atlanta, man. He doing great things. But I think he's on his way, man. I think he's on his way. I think he can get sidetracked with the guys that's around him, with the guys that is not really doing too good or don't really want to do nothing as far as outside life and want to just drag him down and be around him and posse around him. I think he'd be just tighten the circle up and keep everything as sharp as he's supposed to, man. I think that boy can go far.
How difficult is that? I mean, you got your belt. How difficult is it to tighten that circle up, to clean house, if you will, when you get to that certain level?
For me, it's not really hard, man. My circle always been the same way. My circle always been tight. I've never let nobody in. I never really truly did nothing out the box. So I've been doing the same thing my whole life, man, and hanging around the same people. So everybody see me hanging with his family. So I've been around family my whole life. So it's not that hard when it comes to me, but, you know, it's hard when you start getting money and everybody start posturing around you and making you feel like the one. I think some people gravitate to being the one. You know what I mean? Being that guy that everybody want to be around. So, but for me, man, I love being around people that I love.
So end of the day, I mean, you know, 2019 is done. I mean, it, you know, kind of was good for you for most of it. Didn't end maybe the way you wanted to. But as we go on to 2020, how many fights would you like to have? How many fights do you think you'll have in 2020?
If I could have it my way, man, I would at least want 4. You know what I mean? That's a consistent year for me, man. I just think boxing is one of those sports that you have to do as frequently as possible. You know what I mean? And stay as sharp as you want to be. And, you know, 4, if I could have it my way, 3 on a sports side end, because I understand that 4 times when you're fighting and making that much money, you're making all the money, making the money that championship fighters make, it's hard to do. But 3, if I could just have it in the sports boxing way, and continue to just get better, man, and get better and grow. You know, it's hard to kind of fight twice a year, man, and just think I'd be, you know what I mean, focused or you know what I mean, energetic about fighting or getting in the gym and staying in the gym. You know what I mean, when you're only fighting twice. So for me, man, I just think if I hope 2019 was very good for me, was very good to me. And let's see what 2020 holds, man. Hopefully, the sport is still going to continue to be good to me. Al Haymon is going to continue to be good to me. And we can start making great fights. Like I said, the division is stacked. It's a lot of people to fight.
Yeah.
And hopefully, we can continue to just keep getting better.
So where can fans follow you on your social?
You can follow me on Twitter at IAmBoxing, or you can follow me on Instagram at Made in Detroit 1990.
Okay. All right. So, fans, make sure you hit this man up on Twitter, Instagram. You know, go to all his different social media sites and support this man. You know, I watched your last – when I was at your last fight in Brooklyn. And from there, I kind of took to you, man. You got a nice personality. You seem like you're a good dude.
Yeah, man, I'm solid, man. I've been around solid people, man. And you know what? I think everything comes from not only who I am, but where I come from, and the people I've been around, the people I've got the opportunity to hang around my whole life has been family, and you know they taught me how to be solid, stay solid, and stand for what you stand for. So I've been doing that my whole life, man, and I think people tend to latch on to that and say, oh, dude, just real, dude, just solid, dude, just real, and I just that's all I ever want to be.
For sure. So Tony, man, I hope you have a great new year coming up, man. We'd love to see you back in the ring. We'd love to see it against Charlo, but you know,
man,
we'll see what happens there.
I think we gotta start a petition or something for that, man. But it's nothing in the world I want over that. Nothing.
I would love to see it again. I thought it was, you know, I thought the second fight was better than the first fight. I thought it was just two highly skilled guys going at it. It was just beautiful boxing at times. There was some fighting going on at times. It was just a great mix, man. It was two good fights. I think the third one should happen. Hope it happens. We'll see.
Yeah, man. Like I said, hopefully, man. I think that's on my wish list, man. I retired gracefully. They gave me the opportunity to just fight him one more time. I told you I would do it gracefully, man. It's nothing in my heart wants more than that.
For sure.
And then we can do it, you know, within like the next 6 months, because like I said, me fighting in a year, man, it just took off the capacity for me to take the easiest punch. I was getting knocked down by the easiest punches, man. It all came down to, you know, just keeping the reps going and the real life reps is 10-ounce gloves. You know what I mean? I can get real life reps, but in 16-ounce gloves, it's not the same. So, I just want to get back in there, man, and just continue doing what I love, man, and just continue to be blessed, man, and take on the best fights. But like I said, I do it. If Al Haymon told me he could give me this fight and I retire after that, I would.
Okay. All right. So, Tony, man, appreciate it. Would love to do it again. Take care of yourself. Can't wait to see you in 2020.
Thank you, boss. Look, you'll hear from me again. Soon as I'm gonna speak it into existence. Soon as we get this Charlo fight, we'll be back on here to do the interview again.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, man. Take care of yourself.
My dog. Thank you.